Hey everybody out there in Milkshakes Markets Madness Land, happy Labor Day weekend. We are here to do the Monday peak at the week, even though it's going to be a short holiday week. You can see Brent is sporting his end of summer casual gear, so we're feeling the weekend vibes. Brent, it's going to, I guess, roll out of the three-day weekend with some enthusiasm, maybe not on Tuesday, but come Wednesday we have the ISM, we have services PMI, and there's going to be the U.S. trade deficit data. Anything there that piques your interest?
Well, I think it all piques my interest. None of them on their own do, but you know, we had a lot of data this last week. We're going to have a lot of data next week, and then you know, at the early part of the following week, we're going to have CPI. So you know, again, you know, as the Fed continues to say that they are going to hike or stay higher for longer based on data dependency, all of this stuff becomes important. I don't necessarily have a strong opinion on whether these are all going to come in hawkish or dovish. I just know that, you know, if a majority of them come in a little higher than expected, then markets probably sell off a little bit. If they come in lower than expected, maybe that gives them a boost. But, you know, we're getting into this part of the year where, you know, we haven't really talked about this, John, but a lot of times when you get kind of towards the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, people that have had a good year, they kind of start locking in their performance. They want to protect it. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how people deal with the data here over the next month.
Whether it's ironic or convenient, after that set of data on Wednesday, come Thursday, we start to have a Fed jawbone roadshow. So we have back-to-back Fed speakers everywhere from Philly, Chicago, New York, Atlanta, Dallas,
yeah.
And then ending the week with the San Francisco Fed president conversation. So do you think that's kind of ironic? And are they going to try to force their will in the market by jawboning it a bit more hawkish or dovish based on the data?
You know, I think the people who already lean dovish will probably take a dovish bent, and the people who already lean hawkish will kind of say, we have no intention of cutting anytime soon, and we are resolute. And, you know, again, I actually put more into the data than into what they say, with the exception of Powell, right? I kind of take Powell more seriously than the others. But what's interesting, well, the reason that these comments start to get interesting, and this has kind of been alluded to a little bit, and I think we even alluded to it last week, was the comment that Powell made at the very end of his Jackson Hole speech. He said something to the effect that we're navigating under cloudy skies, we're navigating by the stars under cloudy skies. And some people saw this as a veiled jab at the New York Fed governor, right? Who was famous for using the R star as whether or not as a methodology of setting monetary policy. And so, you know, it is interesting that my point is that I think there was probably starting to get some dissent, you know, at the Fed meeting. You know, typically they come out, this was a unanimous decision. You know, I think as we get closer to either staying high for longer or starting to indicate that the hiking cycle is done, there's more chance for dissension amongst the Fed. And I think that was kind of hinted at. And so I think as data comes out, if it's either excessively hawkish or excessively dovish, you know, these Fed members are going to try to spin the markets in their favor. And, you know, we've talked about the nature of power many times. You know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I think these people get addicted to their power. And listen, these are powerful people. If you have the ability to say one sentence and the markets can move on your one sentence, that's power, right? You might not think that they deserve it, but they have it. And I would argue that they don't deserve it, but I'm very cognizant that they do have it, at least in the short term. Their words can move markets in the short term. Now, in the medium to longer term, the markets are going to overpower whatever they say. But if you're somebody who is not just looking at the long term and you're marking your portfolio to market every month or quarter or year, whatever it is, you kind of have to pay attention to the path of monetary policy, whether you want to or not. And so, you know, as we get into the latter part of the third quarter here, this and we get closer to the Fed's kind of end date for hiking, I think this data becomes even more important than it otherwise would be.
Well, on Friday, we shared a video for our Madness Edition series, and we talked about, you know, the issues at Capitol Hill where people have been in Congress for way too long and there needs to be term limits. Almost a similar type of power struggle exists with these central bank presidents. I mean, they've been in there so long that power, that you know, the influence that they have, without a doubt, eventually gets to their head. So they're all sure. Kind of working with ego, and you know, it's very much something that they are dealing with personally. So it's a game, not only when they do appear on these shows, but certainly behind the scenes. So no doubt that there's going to be some dissension and some wrestling going on. Speaking of some of the shows that we do, we have a weekend episode usually published on a Sunday. This is our Monday peek at the week. On Tuesday, we share a video clip from the previous week's full-length episode. And starting this Wednesday, we're going to be introducing a new segment called WWJD, What Would Johnson Do? We did record this episode already, and it's excellent. The concept here is that we get to propose certain scenarios, what-ifs, to Brent and get his thoughts on what he would choose. And so the conversation that we dove into had to deal with gold, so I think the gold bugs are going to love it. And Brent, often known as the dollar man, had an opportunity to share with everybody he's actually more the gold man. So stick around for Goldman's breakthrough episode of What Would Johnson Do on Wednesday. Thursday, we'll release our midweek update, and then Friday, again, the Madness series. So hopefully everybody, when you're watching this, you have a cold one in your hand, you're enjoying the long weekend, and we look forward to everyone joining us on Tuesday when you're back in front of your desks. Brent, thank you very much, and you have a good weekend yourself.
You too, man.
This show is provided for entertainment and informational purposes only. It should not be relied upon as legal, business, investment, or tax advice. Neither the hosts, guests, nor any funds they may manage intends to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies.